Greetings to the broadest audience in America. This is Jason Troyer and Joe Scott filling in for Bob Inyart, who is America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice, talk show host, and our pastor.
That's right.
So Bob is on vacation. He's searching through Canada for glaciers, isn't he? He's trying to investigate global warming.
You think he'll find one?
I don't think so, but of course it is summertime, and glaciers tend to recede in the summertime. So today we're going to talk about global warming and what Al Gore thinks and...
Or doesn't he think.
So we're going to go through some of the claims made in An Inconvenient Truth, which is one of the most popular documentaries ever made, right up there with... March of the Penguins, which is actually a good movie. And that had some ice in it, too, I think.
A little bit.
And then also Fahrenheit 9/11. So we have a rose among thorns, I guess. So Al Gore did this movie. He does PowerPoint presentations around the country and around the world trying to get people excited about global warming. And so these scientists more and more have come out and said global warming is a horrible thing and we need to do something about it. There's man-made CO2 levels that we need to reduce and we need to sign the Kyoto Treaty, those sorts of things. And years ago, I heard a college professor, a doctor who I know, she was telling me that in the college, in the professorial community, you have to publish or perish, meaning you have to constantly be written up in academic journals in order to get the name of the university out there to build your prestige. Well, now it's not so much publish or perish, it's publish of perish.
Yeah.
And the way to get printed, the way to get funding, the way to get noticed is to publish things like the world is coming to an end. And this is the latest bandwagon that scientists are jumping onto. It doesn't matter if the facts really prove out what they're saying, but they have to publish constantly in order to get tenure eventually. And so they publish of perish. And I thought that was greatly insightful.
Right. And that's the politically correct line of thought right now. If you publish something that doesn't go in line with the politically correct thought, you get fired also. Yes. Because the school will lose the funding.
Yeah, you don't get funding when you say there's no such thing as global warming. There's nothing to be concerned about.
There's no money in that.
Exactly. But if you say the world is coming to an end, the world is coming to an end, we have 10 years to fix it, or we're all going to die, they'll throw money at you.
The Chicken Little theories, I call them.
Exactly. So I wanted to talk about a few of the claims that Al Gore makes in the movie. And I've seen clips of the movie, little bits here and there on the internet. One of the most interesting things I thought, you know, and Al Gore is a dynamo, so it's a very entertaining movie from all.
Oh, please, Jason.
Roger Ebert just loved it. He said, if you don't go and see the movie, you should go to your children and grandchildren and explain to them why you didn't see the movie. And I agree, actually, with that. Not that it's a good movie, but you should go and explain to your kids and grandkids why you didn't see that
movie.
And
why they shouldn't, and their kids and grandkids shouldn't.
Exactly. So at one point in the movie, they call it the hockey stick graph. So there's a graph that goes very smoothly along the bottom of the graph, and then at the end it spikes, and it looks like a hockey stick kind of going up. Well, the scale was such that, the graph, and this is one of the inaccuracies, the graph didn't start at zero. So it looks very smooth and very calm, and then at the very end it spikes up. But if you look at other graphs and just life in general, then you'll see that there's not a whole lot of variation. But there was variation in that graph, I'm sorry. But the graph was such that the way it was set up, the data was correct, but the way it was presented was inaccurate. And so he actually goes to the end of the graph, gets on what looks like a scissor lift, an industrial lift, gets on it, moves over there, gets to the controls, and just to try to draw out how dramatic it was. He couldn't just point to the top of the graph. He's got to get on the scissor lift, and then he gets up to the top. And this is where we're at, and this is where we'll be at if things continue in this way. And it was just such a misrepresentation of what the facts are. One of the things he uses to prove his point was that the world is getting warmer is that he shows pictures of glaciers and shows pictures of the tops of mountains and says, well, Mount Kilimanjaro doesn't have an ice cap on it anymore. It's melted. But it's not what he says. It's what he doesn't say. And so if he was trying to make the point that Kilimanjaro was warmer, why didn't he just say the temperature was here 10 years ago on April 20th, and then on April 20th this year it's this, and we've measured every day along every year on that certain date, and you can see that it's getting warmer or colder, whatever. He doesn't do that. He just shows you a picture.
It's because he can't do that.
Because what happens is that Mount Kilimanjaro is actually colder today than it once was. But, of course, he doesn't say that. He uses photographs. And the other photographs he uses are of glaciers receding. And so he shows a glacier, this is the whatever valley, and then this is what it is today. But he doesn't say this picture was taken in the summer, this picture was taken in the winter, because as we know in Colorado, the mountains look dramatically different in the winter and as they do in the summer, but yet we don't consider that global warming. We say that's the seasonal change. It's warmer because it's summer. But he doesn't say any of that in the movie as far as I can tell. He doesn't say this was taken on June 3rd, 1972. This was taken June 3rd, 2005 or whenever the latest data was there. So he says we see glaciers caving into the sea, and of course there's always dramatic pictures of that.
Well, Jason, there are scientific facts, and then there's pictures. Pictures are not science. Mm-hmm. Facts are science, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't call pictures science.
When you do an overpopulation story on the news, you show Beijing, you show New York City, you show Mexico City. You don't show Montana. You don't show Kansas, because it wouldn't go well with what you're saying. But if you – and the type of lens actually on the camera is actually
–
exactly. My family and I went to Four Corners. My parents came out. We went to Four Corners where four states meet in the United States, and there was nothing for 25 miles. We saw one horse, and I don't know how that poor horse survived because there was no vegetation. There was no water. I mean, we thought about picking up the horse, but it was not a whole lot of room in the car. And there's just absolutely nothing out there. And, of course, there's flyover America, as the Democrats describe it, where there's just nothing. And when you look at the Earth from the moon, you can't tell there's any people there. There's no proof. There's no there's nothing on the Earth that you can see that's man-made. The Great Wall of China, they say you can see that from space or from the moon, which is an urban legend. You can't. Mm-hmm. And so if we have such a dramatic effect on the Earth and we're overpopulated, and this is going a little off the subject from global warming, but you should be able to see people on the Earth. You should be able to see cities and so forth. So he said glaciers are caving into the sea. We see storms sweeping through resort areas, burning deserts. And one of the funniest things in there is they say that the polar bears don't have a place to live anymore because the glaciers are melting. So they show an animation, a cartoon, of a little polar bear swimming up to a little chunk of ice, trying to climb up on it, but he's too heavy, he breaks it, and then the sun goes down in the background, and the poor polar bear
drifts off to sea.
Yeah, exactly.
My goodness.
But if it's such an epidemic, why don't you show 5,000 polar bear carcasses floating in the sea because they couldn't make it back to land? If it's such an epidemic, why don't they do that? It's so manipulative, and because I have a degree in media and I see how media is put together, you can so easily see how they manipulate the images that they want to show you and what they don't want to show you, and how they tell you certain things and don't tell you other certain things. So talking about the carbon dioxide concentrations, Al Gore says that one of the things that Al talks about in the movie is that the weight is so – the weight of the evidence is so compelling that scientists are no longer debating whether there is global warming, whether it's not man-made global warming.
It's so easy to say that, Jason, because how many scientists are going to get on your average sitcom and talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he pops up on a sitcom. He gets free airtime all over the place. These scientists, I mean, they can jump up and down and scream. Nobody's going to hear them.
And as you said earlier, you don't get funding and you don't get prestige from saying there is no such thing as global warming.
Right.
But there are people that are truly committed to science, and they want to find out what is truth and what is not. And so because the Al Gore says that the ice caps are melting and Greenland is melting and so forth, the first thing, the first point that we wanted to make is that the ocean levels are rising. So what do the experts say about ocean levels that are rising?
Well, there's a Dr. Chris DeFreitas. He's a climate scientist. He says, and I quote, "I can assure Mr. Gore that no one from the South Pacific Island has fled to New Zealand because of rising seas. In fact, if Gore consults the data, he'll see how it shows sea levels falling in some parts of the Pacific."
Yeah. Now, Al Gore had a crew, or he got hold of some footage from Antarctica where they extracted ice cores. So they drill down into the ice and pull out a tube of ice, basically.
Right.
And they can look at it, and they say, we can tell the effects of the environment that have been going on for years, because it's like rings of a tree. You can tell that there was plenty of water there, so the tree flourished. Or you can say that there was a drought because the rings around the tree were
thin.
Thin, absolutely. And so they extracted an ice core, and Al Gore actually says that by simply looking at an Antarctic ice core with the naked eye, one can see when the American Clean Air Act was passed. Now, Dr. Ivan Clark, professor of earth sciences at the University of Ottawa, responded to this. "It is pure fantasy unless the reporter is able to detect parts per billion changes to chemicals in ice. Air over the United States doesn't even circulate to Antarctica before mixing with most of the northern and then the southern hemisphere air, and this process takes decades." Clark explains that even far more significant events, such as the settling of dust and all these things, happen. So it takes the air from America, mixes with all the other air, dilutes, goes down to the southern hemisphere before it makes it to Antarctica. Al Gore says you can see the parts per billion with the naked eye.
Well, didn't he invent the internet?
He's a very sharp guy. I'll have to give him that.
I mean, he knows just about everything.
It's amazing what he knows.
He was here in Denver just recently to talk about global warming, mm-hmm. and it was my dream. I didn't get to do this, but it was my dream to get underneath the platform that he was sitting on and just pump in hot air just
to watch
make
him sweat.
Yeah.
So and it's absolutely pure propaganda. One of the supporters of this movie is a man that we know very well here at Bob Benyard Live. Former global warming skeptic Michael Shermer mm-hmm. wrote in Scientific American that an inconvenient truth shocked me out of my doubting stance. Now, how do we know Michael Shermer from Bob Benyard Live? Bob Benyard Live and Bob had a talk with Michael Shermer, and Michael Shermer said, Bob was talking about the Bible, and is the Bible right when it describes the sun
as
a light?
A light, yeah.
And Michael Shermer did not want to admit any kind of truth, so he said the sun is not a light. The most amazing thing, just so he can deny the validity of the Bible, he said the sun is not a light. And that's
amazing.
The type of people that are saying an inconvenient truth shocked me out of my doubting stance.
I don't think he had a doubting stance to start with.
but it sounds good. You know, yeah. I was a doubter, and now I'm a convert. He right. convinced me through this wonderful evidence. And speaking of the ice cores, one of the ways that we know that this is inaccurate and that we can tell that these scientists are just sucking this out of their thumb is in the movie. They were talking about the ice cores, and I looked this up, and they said there is a 650,000-year record in the ice core.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we know that this is absolutely junk science because the Earth and that ice was not around for 650,000 years.
Well, maybe Gore was.
No, he wasn't. Only God was around that long.
Just looks like it.
That long ago. Mm-hmm. So one of the other proofs that Al Gore uses is that cities that were built at high altitudes to avoid the mosquitoes in developing countries and so forth are now infested by mosquitoes. It was colder at those higher altitudes, which killed off the mosquitoes, but now the mosquitoes are flourishing and malaria is abounding. So what do the experts have to say about that?
Well, Dr. Paul Ryder, a professor at the Institut Pasteur, he's in the unit of insects and infectious diseases.
So he should know.
Well, you would think that would be his field of study, right? He says Gore believes that the two cities, Nairobi and Harare, or however you say it, were founded just above the mosquito line to avoid malaria. And what he says is the mosquito line actually is at 2,500 feet, and these two cities are at 1,500 feet. So they've always been known to carry malaria in those two cities. So
absolutely. So anyway, an inconvenient truth is obviously untrue. There's so much information out there on the Internet that you can find as to why it's untrue. But it's propaganda, and people want to have their ears tickled, and they want to believe the liberal lie. But if you want to know the truth, you need to get Bob Inyart's information, his Bible studies. There's such a wealth of information here. And, of course, we believe in Bob Inyart, and we go to his church, and we believe in the radio show and the wonderful things that the radio show can do. So give us a call, and you can order some of those some of that information. So let's continue on with a little bit more of the inconvenient
lie. Well, one of the other things that this Dr. Ryder said,
he
said, apparently in that movie, Gore contributes 30 diseases to global warming.
Okay.
And Ryder says not one of the diseases that he has named in this movie has been affected at all by global warming. So Gore is really just stretching. But you know something that Gore knows? He knows that people are not going to check him out.
Yeah, they want to believe the lie. And there's been scientists out there that say even if it's not true, it's so alarming and it's so shocking that we need to do something about CO2 emissions and we need to sign Kyoto and that sort of thing. So even if it's not true, they almost admit that it's not true. But they're so desperate to hate humanity and hate civilization, and they want to equalize us with the third world. They don't want to bring the third world up to our standards. They want to lower us to the third world standard because they hate our prosperity.
Well, it's
they
a lot
love
easier
communism.
To control the third world. But, you know, Gore wrote years ago that we needed to get out of our cars, except him and his wife's SUV. But
the world in the balance or
something like that. Yeah. We need to get out of cars, and he wants to take us out of cars, and he's still on that same crusade. He hasn't changed his agenda.
But the thing is amazing, and we see this with liberals all the time, that they show up. Barack Obama recently came to a fundraiser, said we need to drive hybrid cars, so forth like that, and then he left in his SUV. And so it's the hypocrisy that is amazing. And, of course, when Al Gore came out with this movie, there were people that did public record search, and public records actually reveal that Gore lectures Americans extensively on consumption, but he and his wife, Tipper, live in two properties, a 10,000-square-foot, 20-room, 8-bathroom home in Nashville. And even if that was the only home he had, and
That's excessive.
That is excessive. And if he wants to have that home, then more power to him. That's great. If you can afford it, we're not faulting him at all for that. We're certainly not covetous here. But the fact that he is hypocritical, it shows his hypocrisy that he can live in that type of a home and yet lecture people about driving roller skates for cars. He doesn't want anybody to have an SUV, but he owns a 10,000 square foot, 20 room, 8 bathroom home in Nashville.
And Jason, he says that he's all for the poor, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many poor people do you know can buy a hybrid car?
Yeah, they're very expensive.
Very expensive.
And I'm all for liberals buying hybrid cars because it's not cost effective right now. But the more liberals buy the hybrid cars,
the more
inexpensive they will become. And I'm all for getting rid of oil and foreign oil, certainly in the Middle East. But I don't want to give up the conveniences. I don't want to have a hand crank on the front of my car anymore. That we've done away with that. So as long as the liberals take the expense right up front and they make it cost effective so that I can drive it, I'm all for saving money. I'm all for not giving the Middle East my money. But I'm not willing to drive a roller skate or to take the hit initially. Let the liberals do that and defund them. Now, he's got a 10,000-foot square foot home and a 4,000-square-foot home in Arlington, Virginia. And he also has a third home in Carthage, Tennessee. So the fact that
he's not consuming a whole lot of fuel, is he? Just to get to those homes,
exactly.
One to the other is going to consume fuel.
And how much air conditioning does it take to air condition a 10,000-square-foot home? And how many homeless people does he have staying in that 10,000-square-foot home? It sits empty most of the time, I would imagine. So
he's an unbelievable character.
It is absolutely unbelievable. So we're talking a little bit about communism, and he wants to bring the first world down to the third world standards. Well, one of the other proofs he used is the Aral Sea, which is a former Soviet republic. It's between Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan. And what they did there, they in the film, it's portrayed that global warming dried up the sea. That's the
sea?
The sea. It's so warm that it dried up the sea.
An inland sea?
Yeah. There's boats on the bottom of the sea, of the dirt now, and says, you know, global warming is such a problem. Well, what he doesn't tell you is that Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan were kind of fighting over the water, and they wanted to create rice paddies, and they wanted to do other irrigation, cotton, and so forth. And the communists are not very smart, which is why they're communists. And so they flooded these
fields,
and the saline content in the soil was such that they basically polluted all the water that they had diverted there. Now, he doesn't say they diverted the water for ill-advised rice fields. He kind of leaves it up to the viewer to figure out why they're actually – what really happened. But he just puts it out there and tries to make the connection that this has something to do with global warming.
So what is he doing, Jason? I mean, he knows he's lying.
Yeah, he knows
he's lying.
He knows
he's lying, but he also knows the people he's talking to don't know that he's lying. Yeah, they're going to eat it up. But he has to have an ulterior motive.
Well, and it's the hatred of the first world. It's the hatred of capitalism, and it's the love of equality. And equality.
Well, that's not true, Jason, because if he really felt like he hated the first world, he wouldn't own all those homes.
Yeah.
I think it's more like Animal Farm.
Okay.
Some are equal, but some are more equal. And I think that they believe that they can actually get a heads up and a hold on the world when they want to just grab the whole world. And it's power leading them.
And half of the movie wasn't even about global warming, from my understanding. It was a puff piece about him and his career, about him almost losing his son, about him losing his sister to lung cancer, and the regret that he and his father have for raising tobacco, because it was tobacco that caused the lung cancer. And it was his failed presidential run and so many things. So if the world is hanging in the balance and the world is, we have to get this global warming thing under control, why bother diverting the audience's attention to your failed presidential run or to your sister dying of lung cancer?
Unless you're campaigning for the UN or something.
Well, and that it was said that that's just his a 2008 campaign video, which it very well might be, because Hillary is probably not electable. And you know, I have a bet with Doug McBurney from our church that Hillary will never become president. So we bet $50.
Right.
So if she becomes president in our lifetimes, I got to pay him $50. And then if she doesn't become president in her lifetime, we'll have to figure it out in heaven.
In heaven, yeah.
So I figure I'm not losing anything. So because whatever he gives me in heaven worth $50, I'll keep for all eternity. So I don't know what's going to be the barter system or the monetary system up there, but I figure I'll do pretty well. And just as a side note, Hillary's not going to win because the Democrats already have the female vote generally wrapped up. And so to have a female candidate is not going to improve their voter turnout, or it's not going to draw Republicans to them. And Democrats have to win the South, the Republican Deep South. And Hillary's not going to help them do that either. So,
and she's in trouble for supporting the war in the beginning, although she's trying to squirm right now. But she supported it in the beginning, and that's not helping her with the Democrats.
Yeah, so Hillary's not going to become president. Now, the only way that Hillary can become president is if the Republicans really mess up. If the Republicans put Rudy Giuliani on the ticket, she very well might become president, because the good Republicans, the conservatives, the Christians, and those are three separate groups generally,
right,
by the way, those people are not going to vote for Rudy Giuliani because of his extreme pro-choice, pro-abortion, infanticide stance. So the only way that the Republicans can lose, really, in my opinion, is to put a pro-abort, someone that the base hates. So, and George Allen, who was probably the front runner, he kind of stepped on some toes at a fundraiser recently. So I don't know what his political future is like. So maybe Newt Gingrich, somebody like that. But it's going to be a very polarizing campaign, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So either the Republicans are going to put up a pro-abort and they're going to lose because no one would want them, or
Hillary's
going to lose, or they'll figure out somebody else to put up there. So anyway, we're obviously going to talk more about the 2008 elections as that gets closer. Global warming, truth or fiction? It's obviously fiction. Al Gore manipulated the science, showed you exactly what he wanted to show you, and if you fall for this, you are a fool. Give us a call here at Bob in Your Life if you want truth and if you want to understand the Bible better and have a better relationship with God. Give us a call, 1-800-8-NYARD. We'll be back right after this.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
Welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live. This is Jason Troyer and Joe Scott. Hi, Joe.
Hi,
Jay. Filling in for Bob, who is vacationing. We don't know where he's at. He's somewhere north of Denver, Montana, Canada, Seattle, or some of the places he's going.
Burning fossil fuel.
Exactly. How dare he?
I know.
All this we know about global warming and all of the poor polar bears drowning and the sea levels rising. One other thing he was mentioning, Al Gore, in the movie An Inconvenient Truth, was that as the sea levels rise, the 9/11 memorial site will be underwater. And when I heard him talk about that, I saw that clip on the internet, I was so enraged, because it's him and the Clinton administration that caused there to be a 9/11 memorial site instead of the Twin Towers. If they had captured Osama bin Laden, if they had not dismantled the intelligence that we have in this country, the CIA and the FBI and so forth, we wouldn't have had a 9/11. But liberals, as they tend to do, create a problem and then blame it on conservatives or on people in general. And they say, oh, we can fix the problem. We didn't cause it, but we can fix the problem.
I suppose if the oceans rose and we still had the Twin Towers, we would be able to see them just peaking above the rising water.
So anyway, all right, enough global warming. It is such a hoax. It is such a lie. Global warming is the liberals' Y2K.
That's right.
It will eventually show how foolish they are. And if you were a Y2K believer, you shouldn't have been. And that was an incredible embarrassment to conservatives and to conservative Christians who were selling those types of emergency supplies. But the same thing is going to be true with global warming and the liberals. Global warming is the liberals' Y2K.
Well, hopefully they'll be demolished as quickly as the Y2K theories.
Yeah.
But I doubt it.
Yeah, my guess is it'll linger and they'll say years from now, well, global warming was happening, but we averted it because we did this and that. Or they can say, well, it shifted now and we know more now than we did before. And
no, they'll say we averted it, but now the conservatives have done something. Who knows what it's going to be? And we're looking at an Arctic freeze. I mean, there's always going to be a catastrophe on the horizon.
But America is to blame for global warming, according to the liberals. And as far as I know, I don't really see us signing the Kyoto Treaty and really reducing in any significant way our CO2 emissions, which I don't have a problem with, and I certainly don't like the smog and the brown haze over Denver. So if we can reduce emissions, I have no problem with that. It's not as though it's a bad thing to reduce emissions or it's a bad thing to reduce our dependence on our own oil or foreign oil, but we're not going to be driving around roller skates in America. It just won't happen. Americans will not stand for it.
No, not without a good fight anyway.
Yeah, that's the probably one of the few things they care about.
Yeah, their ability to be mobile and get what they want when they want it and how they want it.
Yeah.
So, hey, Jason, I read something recently that's just disheartening. Do you know who CARE is? CARE is the – do you know who they are?
I don't.
It's the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE.
Okay.
They have been linked to terrorists in the past, and a couple of their leaders.
An Islamic group linked to terrorism? That's unbelievable, Joe. How can
right,
you say
I
that?
I know, but they're well respected in the United States.
Sure.
A couple of their leaders have been taken into custody for terror-related and found guilty of terror-related activities. So,
well, that's good. We know that there are bad people at CARE. So
yes.
We've identified the enemy and we're going to eliminate them, right?
No, we're going to take them on
a
tour through our security at O'Hare International Airport. In fact, we're not going to do it. We've already done it on June 21st.
A tour meaning they're going to bring them to the back holding areas and interrogate these members trying to get through security? Or they're showing them the security holes that we have?
They're showing them everything they ever wanted to know and didn't want to know about our security systems at the airport, which is unbelievable. I can't believe that it's going on.
Now, let's say it's a Christian group, the Christian Coalition. It doesn't really exist that much anymore, but let's say the Christian Coalition wanted a tour of the security in O'Hare Airport. Would O'Hare Airport give permission to have a bunch of Christians go through their security? And, I mean, it's amazing.
Well, you know, the airport personnel may be profiling Islamic people as they go through the security.
Should.
Well, yeah, I would think, especially coming into the country. But what happened was the U.S. Customs Border Patrol agents were asked to describe to CARE representatives various features of our high-risk passenger outlook system.
Unbelievable.
Can you believe it? I can't. And this is like right during the time that they're investigating these nuts that were going to get on the planes to blow up U.S. airplanes.
Sure, in London,
yeah. It was during that time
and
that they were doing this.
Islamic fundamentalists in England were arrested, and they, seized 400 computers and 200 cell phones. And, I mean, they had 70 searches, so they know this is a widespread problem in London. And, I mean, they're just – the Muslims are just taking over Europe. It's you can't ignore the problem anymore because the Europeans are not having kids. Just like in America, they're having abortions, but they need workers, and they are not farsighted, so they're letting all these Muslim immigrants come in. And there's places in England where they shut down the streets, the city streets in the morning, so that the Muslims can have prayers,
right,
because they won't fit in the, they can't fit in the mosques anymore. So if a pro-lifer who's out protesting abortion steps into the street, they're obstructing traffic and they'll be arrested and all these terrible things.
And if a car hits you, it's your fault.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Muslims can block streets, get down on their prayer mats, and have morning prayers, have the minarets going, which was amazing. When I first went to Israel, I was stunned that the Jews allowed the minarets, which are basically loudspeakers in Arabic doing the prayers. And they're on at 5 o'clock in the morning and throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that in Europe because they hold such sway. And they're cordoning off beaches in Italy, I believe it is, and saying this is a women's only section of the beach, and they're doing it specifically for the Muslims there,
mm-hmm,
in Italy. And it's amazing. So this known terrorist organization gets a tour of the security procedures in O'Hare Airport, the busiest airport in America.
Right. And the customs agents are outraged. And so this is an article that was in WorldNet Daily. So they talked to WorldNet Daily, and they were just screaming,
yeah,
saying that to give them a tour that's going to reveal sensitive counterterrorism procedures to an organization that has seen several of its own officials convicted of terror-related charges is insane.
Yeah, and it's not in the border enforcement and the FBI and the federal agents, the sky marshals, those types of people, they know who they're dealing with. They know how to solve the problem. But it's the bureaucrats that are higher up that don't want to be considered as they're profiling or insensitive. Those are the ones that are causing the problems. Recently, this was a couple months ago, air marshals absolutely threw a fit because they have to go through certain procedures. They're waved through security at the airports. They have to go through security, but they're waved through.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately, anybody standing in those long lines, the cattle chutes, as they call them, as you're waiting to go through security, can see, oh, that person got waved through security. They don't escort them through a different terminal or whatever to get them into the terminal. They still have to go through security. So it's immediately identified that's an air marshal. Once they get to the gate where the plane is going to take off, they have to present their credentials to the ticket agent. So while you're sitting there waiting to get on the plane, nothing else going on, all you have to do is watch the ticket counter, and an air marshal has to, by their requirements, walk up to the ticket agent, show their credentials, and then they are the first ones on the plane. So if a terrorist is sitting there, all he has to do is say, that is the person that pulled out identification, showed it to the ticket agent. That's the person who is on the plane first. They also have to sit in first class, and they also have to wear a uniform. They have to wear shirt, tie, and coat.
This
These
is
air
for
marshals.
All of them in first class?
Every
single
one.
They can't sit just anywhere in the plane?
Because they have to guard the cockpit. So they're showing the terrorist over and over and over again, this is who we are. If you want to take over the plane, knock me out, take my gun, and then you can take over the plane. And the air marshals see the risk in all of this. They should be wearing Hawaiian shirts and khaki shorts and fitting in with every other American going to and fro, but they have to appear as though they're business travelers. Even if they're traveling to Cancun on an international flight, they have to be wearing a three-piece suit almost.
Oh,
and they
so
have to go through all
how
these
many
hoops.
People travel like that anymore in a three-piece suit? I just got off a plane the other day. There wasn't one of them on there. Also, the customs agents said that they were told to explain to this CARE organization how the programs worked to detect Muslim terrorists.
Unbelievable.
Now, what good is our security if we're talking to these people? Now, they're supposed to be well-respected and honest people, but you know who funds them? Saudi Arabia.
Well, we love Saudi Arabia.
And the United Arab Emirates, two countries that formally recognized the Taliban. And they formally, not formally, but they formally, my Rhode Island accent's in the way here.
Not in the past that they recognized them, but they formally. Procedural thing.
Yeah.
Just like they don't recognize Israel and have an embassy in Israel, they did recognize the Taliban as a legitimate government.
Right. And it also offers religious and cultural sensitivity training about Islam and Muslims to the military, our military.
Well, but the Democrats are no better, and probably the Democrats are who are doing this, but when the English police department and the FBI foiled the latest plot, the Islamic terrorists trying to blow up planes going over the Atlantic, the Democrats immediately came out and said, these arrests happen only a day after the Lieberman-Ned Lamont primary election in Connecticut,
right.
And there has to be a link because they hate Bush so much. They can't possibly think that he has any desire to protect America whatsoever. They said that these terrorists in England, they were so far away from actually carrying these things out that they were not they were barely in the planning stages, and this was way so much preemptive, and there was no reason to do this except for that political motive. But of course, now the police are finding bomb-making materials in the forests just outside where these people were living. They were finding passports, they're finding all these things that were operational, not preparational, but absolutely operational, mm-hmm. to blowing up these planes. And if the Bush administration were manipulating these arrests, wouldn't they want to push it later towards the elections? Because we're going to have midterm elections coming up soon. So if the Islamic terrorists, and I hate to be redundant by saying Islamic terrorists.
Yeah, that's
but
redundant.
If the terrorists had waited, if they were going to blow up these planes 2 months from now, wouldn't it have been better for the Bush administration and the Republicans to push those arrests closer to the elections? It would only benefit them if that truly was their motive, to scare the American people and to use this as a politically motivated arrest. So, you know, the Democrats are not only immoral and evil when it comes to abortion, they absolutely have no sense. Even when it comes to things as simple as the economy, and when it comes to terrorism, they just want to destroy America, which is amazing because that's where they live. I don't know if they realize that, but they actually live in America. And the target of most of the terrorists, they want to create the biggest explosion, the most casualties, the biggest damage. And so they want to hit big cities.
They want the most sensationalism. You know, they're going to get the most media if they hit America.
Well, and not only America, but say Manhattan,
right.
or Boston. They're not going to make big news if they hit a small town in Iowa. So that's not as big a threat as San Francisco and the Golden Gate Bridge. But the thing is, that's where these liberals live. The big cities are where the liberals live. So you would think they would be out front banging the drum. We have to protect our big cities. We have to protect these liberal bastions of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. They want, for whatever reason, they don't care if the terrorists are captured, and they certainly want their rights not to be violated, and we can't listen in on phone calls, and we can't detain them at Gitmo, and all these things. And they're really damaging themselves because it's the heartland. It's the small town America, and generally where the conservatives live, and those really are not the targets.
No. And listen to this, Jay. The FBI have been complaining in Washington, D.C., because the Bureau rarely can make a move in the Muslim community without first consulting CARE, you know, which sits on its advisory board. It's unbelievable. It sounds like to me, you know what it sounds like to me? The Muslim version of the ACLU.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all, although...
They scream racism all the time.
Yeah.
They scream racism and bias and all that. Just the way the ACLU came from the grassroots up to where it is today.
And God-haters have an amazing way of repeating themselves and taking from other God-haters.
So, well, they don't have to go look far, you know. They all have the same... It seems like... Satan knew what he was doing in the Garden of Eden, you know, just twist the truth a little bit, ask a few questions, get people thinking, bring up the flesh, and just sit back and watch.
Take pictures of Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yeah. Yeah.
And go to the busiest airport of the country and claim that we're being racially profiled, even though all the terrorists so far have been Islamic.
Right.
We can't discriminate against Islamic people. We can't screen them. And I'm not for kicking off every Islamic person on the plane, but people are being they're concerned about that, and as well they should be, because as the saying goes, not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims.
I heard that in England just recently passengers revolted.
It was actually in Spain.
It was Spain.
From Spain,
okay.
To Italy, and there were two Islamic people on the flight wearing heavy leather jackets
and baggy clothes,
and they were talking what sounded to the passengers like Arabic. Mm-hmm. So there were a few families that refused to board the plane. There were a few people on the plane who had already boarded once they saw these guys get on, thinking, why are they dressed like this? What are they talking about? They got off the plane,
yeah,
refused to fly, so they had to clear the plane out, take these two guys away. They brought in a bomb-sniffing dog, searched the cabin of the plane, and then the plane left without these two guys 3 hours later. And that's how it should happen. When people see something suspicious, they should not just sit back and say, we're not going to do anything
about
it.
Well, it gets real personal when you're getting on a plane and you think that plane's going to blow up. I mean, it takes about that much to get people to act now, but...
And the falsities fall away, the niceties, and say, oh, we can't racially profile. Wait a minute, I might die in the next half hour. I think he looks suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
We want to check him out. My child is flying on this flight as well. I have a duty to protect my family and myself. I'm not going on that flight. I don't care what happens, but you're not putting me on that flight with these people who I think could be dangerous and hazardous to my health. Now, what if
care... Now, that doesn't sound real Christian to me, Jason.
Well, you're wrong.
That's right.
Now, what if care, and care is spelled C-A-I-R, right?
Right.
The Council for American Islamic
Relations.
Now, what if it was the Christians against Islamic radicals? Would that care group get a tour of O'Hare Airport saying, this is what we're doing to stop the Islamic radicals from blowing up these good Christian people flying to and fro across America? Would they have gotten a tour of O'Hare?
No, they wouldn't have gotten a tour. They wouldn't. The FBI wouldn't know who they are, except for we'd be on the bad guy list, you know.
Well, and they would have been probably sued for harassment by O'Hare, for discrimination and harassment, for even bringing up that topic. How dare you insult the our wonderful Islamic brothers and sisters.
And
the Islamic people who are not terrorists, they should be fighting this just as hard as the Christians, because in their mind, Islam is this wonderful, great religion of peace and love and whatever else they claim that it is, which of course it isn't, but they should be. And what's the biggest name imam that's come out and said that Islam is being hijacked by these radicals and we need to do something about it?
There isn't one. There was one a week ago Sunday. Ken went to a mosque. Mm-hmm. They had an opening.
Ken, your husband.
Ken, my husband. I was still in California. I wasn't here. But he went to a mosque. They had an open invitation to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And the topic was why Islam is so misunderstood, that they don't hate everyone, and it's a religion of love, and it was just a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, they're going to say that to the general public, and that will calm everyone's fears. But we have been to the mosque,
that same mosque,
when Operation Save America was here.
Yeah, that's right.
And we went to witness to those people. Well, there was a rumor that we were going to burn a Quran at that mosque. And they said, well, if they burn the Quran, we will attack.
That's right.
What happened to your religion of
peace? Yeah.
Because we burn a book. And if someone burned a Bible, I would be incensed. I would be outraged. And I would condemn them as hard as I could for mocking the God of creation. But I wouldn't punch somebody in the face because they burned the Bible. The Bible certainly contains the Word of God, but it is a book, and we don't worship that book. We worship the Creator. We worship God Almighty Himself. And so if you destroy His Word, people have been trying to destroy His Word for generations and for centuries, and it's not going to happen. So I have no great fear that the Bible is going to be wiped off the face of the earth. And certainly the Muslims have no great fear that the Quran is going to be wiped off the face of the earth. And while I have reverence for the book, I don't worship the book, just like I don't worship the American flag or whatever topic is coming up.
If they came to Denver Bible Church to burn a Bible, doesn't even have to be Muslim, what do you think we would do?
Well, first of all, we'd invite them in because we always have extra donuts and coffee. We can't.
Or we send you out to get some, Jay, extra. But we would invite them in, or it would be a tremendous opportunity to witness to these people, to try to bring them to the knowledge of Christ. But there at that mosque, there was hate in those young men's eyes. I mean, it was amazing to see how aggressive and how angry they were just talking to us.
And the same thing with pro boards. If they showed up and protested our church, we would invite them in as long as they weren't disruptive, or we would go out to wherever they were at and we would talk to them, try to have a reasonable, rational debate on why it's okay to rip the arm or leg off of an innocent, preborn little baby boy or girl, and try to have a discussion. But running them over with a car, like what happened in Jackson, Mississippi, where the pro-aborts claimed that we were trying to do that to them, and they were jumping on the hood of our car and destroying a pro-lifer's car, we would never run somebody down because of that. We think they're going to hell. So running them down with the car will immediately send them to hell. And we don't want that as a Christian. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, that any should go to hell. And if we know that if they are foaming at the mouth, baby killers, and they die, they will go to hell because God hates hands that shed innocent blood. They need to humble themselves, so it doesn't benefit us to go in and kill people who are atheists or kill pro-aborts or kill Muslims. It's not the way that things go. But to a Muslim, to a pro-abort, they hate us with a burning hatred, and they will kill us if given the opportunity,
you know,
because
that
they have a twisted worldview.
That video on Bob's website of that pro-abort screaming at one of the Yoda boys. It's just with love on her shirt. It's just the epitome of what we see. It makes no sense whatsoever.
But of course, in their mind, everything is love and everything is peace, except when they run into us. Intolerance is the only thing they will not tolerate. So, ladies and gentlemen in the audience, I want to encourage you to get into the battle with love, but with passion. We need to convert these people. We need to show them the light of the world, because they are wallowing in the mud, in the muck, in the gutter, and they need to be lifted out, cleaned off, and shown that there is a Savior out there. They don't have to live in darkness. They can come, walk into the light, and we need to be the light in the world to them. Give us a call here. Order products. We need your help to stay on the air. KGov.com. Check it out.
It's Jesus, not government, that's going to save us.